This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
White will cross over the midcourt line, and that's going to do it. As the Miami Heat come into the United Center, hand the Bulls their second straight home loss after the break, and the final was 101-90 Miami.
Offensively, you know, finishing around the rim, being more aggressive. I feel like I've regressed in that area, being aggressive on the offensive end. You know, just trying to play the right way, do everything that everybody's telling me to do, but at the same time, I understand that me being aggressive would be better for my team. So I just got to play a lot better on the offensive end.
That is the maybe the hood ornament for Saturday Suckage, Wendell Carter Jr. After last night's dreadful Bulls loss, collapse, horrificness. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, we suck so you don't have to, but Wendell Carter Jr. is beating us to it, as are the Bulls. And me and Mark Grody are going to go to the Score Hotline. It's presented by Alpamonte Ford. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apford.com. And we welcome in Cody Westerlund, who covers the Bulls for the Score. More importantly, though, he is the digital high lord and master. And all over Cody Westerlund's words and pictures and digitizing, Wendell Carter Jr. sucks. Why does Wendell Carter Jr. suck, Cody? Tell us. Fix it.
He, according to Wendell Carter Jr., he hasn't been aggressive enough. So that would be the problem. And since he was drafted by the Bulls in, what was it, 2018, he's always been a guy that's been really introspective. And I thought last night was maybe the most downtrodden we'd seen him in his Chicago tenure. And I think it's because he realizes the team really needed him to step up the past two games with Joel Embiid out and then Bam Adebayo out for the Heat last night. And he didn't bring it the last couple nights, and the Bulls struggled, got absolutely destroyed in the paint against the 76ers, and again lost that battle against the Heat last night. So I think he just views it as lost opportunity, and he's searching for some answers, and he doesn't have them right now. He said that like three times, you know, why can't you finish at the rim? I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what to say to that question, like stuff like that. So the Bulls need to pick him up somehow. He needs to step up somehow, because if they're going to compete at a higher level, he's got to be one of the guys that steps up for him.
So what's going on with him, man? Is it a conflict of identity as far as to who he is or what he's supposed to be as a ball player? Or is he, and I hate to say this, is he a head case?
I don't think he's a head case, because I don't think just coming out and being open about just how you're approaching the mental side of the game means you're a head case. I find that pretty refreshing, to be honest, and more enlightening than people who just give cliches after they have bad games, for example. But I would say, I think it's fair to say he's somewhat conflicted on the court, Grody. I think that's a fair way to put it. We saw this back in preseason. Billy Donovan told him to shoot like 100 threes, right? Like, that might be a bit of an exaggeration, but there was no red light in preseason for Wendell. And They always wanted him to stretch that range out, but like that's not what they need him to do right now. What they need him to do is, instead of averaging 5.8 points per game in the last five games, is just go get 15 and 12. You know what I mean? Especially when you're playing a team that you should take advantage of. So it has been interesting because I think he's trying to blend a lot of things into his game, right? The Bulls asked him to step out and shoot threes. He also went through a quad injury and missed almost a month, so I don't think he's had a great rhythm at any point this season. But then you watch the Bulls play basketball so beautifully when Zach LaVine runs pick and roll with Thad Young, right? Like, he hits him in the pocket, and all of a sudden Thad Young has the ball dashing down the middle of the lane and has a four-on-three situation where he can go to the hoop, kick it, and make good decisions. Thad Young makes those decisions really fast. Well, the Bulls sometimes want to play Wendell Carter Jr. like that too and get him in the pocket, and it's different. It's not doing it every possession like they kind of do it with Thad. But it's a lot to handle, I think, mentally on the decision front about who you kick the ball to, who you pass it to sometimes. And then like times like last night, like he should have just been getting the ball more in the post, more closer to the hoop, and finishing strong. I mean, he was only 1 of 5 for the field. He should have had more shots in a game like that. Like, Kelly Olynyk can't be a reason that you're scared to go to the hoop and stuff. And that wasn't even the guy guarding him at some point. I think it was KZ Okpala, who I didn't really know who even was until I saw him in the starting lineup last night for the Heat. Like, he can't be a reason that you're not being aggressive down low either. And I think he gets down, as far as the mental aspect, I think I would say this. He doesn't handle struggles as well as other people handle struggles. And I would point to one example on the team that Billy Donovan's pointed to. Like, we've seen Kobe White really struggle to shoot in some games early on this year. Like, play two or three bad quarters, and then he'll hit, like, two huge threes in the fourth quarter, and he'll come up with some big rebounds. And, like, that's an example of a guy handling struggles inside of 48 minutes pretty well. I don't think Wendell handles struggles that well inside of 48 minutes. He can rebound better from game to game, and lately he hasn't, but I think he has to find some way to pick himself up, and the Bulls have to find a way to pick himself up within a game. So bad half, put it behind him, and he's talked about he struggles putting stuff behind him sometimes, so he has to respond to adversity better inside of a basketball game.
Which is an interesting way to look at it, Cody, and our guest is Cody Westerlund, covers the Bulls for The Score, and we happen to be on The Score. What were the odds of that? Cody, the idea that Wendell Carter came off that game where the Sixers had, I want to say, 738 points in the paint.
Yeah.
And then you see what Wendell Carter Jr. does in this game, and then what the team does in the fourth quarter against Miami. So in adjusting from, if you can adjust from game to game, this doesn't look like it. And I don't know if he's just a guy who needs to be in, first of all, he needs to be healthy to be in some kind of rhythm, but since he's come back allegedly healthy, he hasn't scored in double figures. So not being healthy enough to get as much NBA life exposure as he needs to, an actual experience on the court. I don't know. I would think he would have been a bigger part of a win last night if he was as good as rebounding from a bad game, as you say, after the Philadelphia game.
I completely agree with that. I mean, that's the maturation process, right? He's 21 years old, but he's also now in his third year in the NBA, a couple injury-plagued years, obviously, so maybe not quite a full campaign here in any of these years, but this is a guy that it's time to prove yourself, right? Like, you get 4 years on your rookie contract usually, and then you got to make a big decision on a second contract. So the Bulls are in this weird situation too, where like Lauri Markkanen's going to be a restricted free agent and has had injury problems and has shot the lights out the last two games from three-point range, but he's been a big minus on the defensive end. Like, he didn't do anything last night toughness-wise inside the paint to make it be like, hey, we're going to win this game. He spot up and shot some of his threes pretty well, and I think scored 20 points for the Bulls after he went absolutely berserk from three-point range in a blowout loss to the 76ers the night before. Like, the Bulls are missing some aspect of toughness, and I don't want to confuse that with the lack of effort. I mean, this team is putting the effort in, but somewhere in there, there's a toughness aspect, and I think Billy Donovan said some of it comes to mindset. I also think some of it comes to just how they're built physically, right? Like, Wendell Carter Jr. is a little bit smaller center. Lauri Markkanen has bulked up every offseason, it feels like we talk about. But then it's like he goes into the paint, and he has a smaller guy on him, and he's fading away and making what should be like a 3-foot layup over someone into like a 6-foot fadeaway. And to me, like, that's toughness somehow. You're not using the strength you have correctly. And that can't happen. Like, Lauri Markkanen can't be 1 of 4, 1 of 5 on two-pointers in the first 2 or 3 quarters of a game against a team missing its all-star star center. So I don't think these guys have blended some of their mental decisions with their physical tools and talent, and sometimes they're just overpowered. So that's why, like, you look 2 or 3 years ahead. I don't expect Markkanen and Carter to both be here in Chicago. Like, at some point, this front office with Karnišovas and Mark Eversley is going to decide and make a move. I mean, at some point, they have to make a move, right? They haven't done anything that, like, most of us couldn't do so far on the move front, and that's just pick a guy at number 4 and sign Garrett Temple, who's a great veteran when you needed wing help. Like, those made logical sense. At some point, they are going to make a trade. They are going to make big decisions and shake this up a little bit, and I think they've been using this year, obviously, as an evaluation process, and there is absolutely nothing about this year that suggests Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen should be the starting 4 or 5 for the Bulls in 3 or 4 years from now. So they still have a second half of the season to prove that. Maybe there's time next year to prove it, but right now the evidence is not growing in their favor for that pairing together.
I completely agree with that, man, and that's why I personally don't care whether or not the Bulls make the playoffs this year, because this is not going to be the core of players that is there when the Bulls hopefully down the road are back in an Eastern Conference Finals type of deal. So that said, with all the toughness and the moves made, is it possible that there is a dramatic move ahead of this trade deadline, Cody?
I don't think dramatic would be likely. I'm trying to parse that word too. Like, they're not trading Zach LaVine before this trade deadline, right? I don't think, to me, Thad Young being traded wouldn't be dramatic. And I say that because it would be jarring for the team because he's so respected. I don't think it's a dramatic shakeup or anything. Shakeup maybe inside of this season, but like you said, you keep Thad, you're chasing an 8 seed, 9, 10 seed for a play-in.
Yes.
I think the only dramatic thing that would be on the table would be if the Bulls have enough evidence and have decided that they don't really want to bring Lauri Markkanen back at any number near what he's going to ask for in restricted free agency or get from another team on an offer sheet. So maybe they are thinking, you know, we made an offer before last season that was clearly, it had to be probably a little over $15 million annually, I would guess, maybe $17, $18 million, because there's a lot of rumors in the NBA that he was wanting $20 million or something like that annually. So if they haven't budged off that number and they view restricted free agency coming up and saying, you know what, Markin's going to want over $20 million a year, we're not going to match that, we should get some value for him, I think that's the only dramatic thing that's in play here. I think the trade deadline's 12 days away. That's in play. I don't think it's likely just because, well, he hasn't been healthy. All these other teams are going to want him to prove a lot of stuff as well. So I think that's what you need to keep in mind there. And to be honest, I think Markkanen probably fits what they want to do a little better just because of his three-point range and ability to spread the floor. It's just he hasn't brought enough on the defensive end to be like, yeah, we got to build around him. And he hasn't finished well enough, I think, around the rim, in my opinion, for that as well. So, and I would almost turn this question around on you guys, too, on the Thad Young thing. Like, people, there's at least a segment of the fan base that thinks, like, maybe a small segment, but trading Thad Young's like giving up and like tanking again. Trading Thad Young to me is not tanking. It's prioritizing the future over the present, but that is not tanking in any way, shape, or form. Like, you have to be smart enough, if you get a good offer for Thad Young, to not bypass it because you could get the 8, 9, or 10 seed.
You
don't trade him for a second-round pick. But if you get a first-round pick, if you get a strong offer and move him, that's not tanking. That's just balancing. Every team has to balance the future and the present. Teams like the Lakers are all in on the present. There's a few really terrible teams in the NBA that are all in on the future. And most teams fall in the middle somewhere. So I just felt like that was a reminder. I don't view that as tanking. I don't know how you guys see it.
No, I completely agree, and I've been singing that same exact strategy whenever I get the chance to. It's ridiculous when people say, whether fans or people, reporters or opinion makers, say that that you go, at this point, you can't trade Thad Young. You can't break up what they have unless you really are confident that this is the core that's going to get the Bulls to where they have to be. So it would be quite frankly, Steve, I think it'd be stupid not to trade Thad Young if they are to get something better than like a second round pick, as Cody just said. I don't know. What do you think, Rosie?
I'm all for it. I mean, your team is being run by a guy who found Nikola Jokic in the second round. I want all the second round picks, which used to be worthless because the Bulls used to not even have room for any Jordan Bell. They were trading for $3.5 million and whatever. I'm all for that. But this also sounds like, oh, you can't get rid of Augie Ojeda. I mean, this is what you're talking about. I mean, this is not.
Exactly.
And when you talk about Markkanen, it should be Lauri Markdown because So last night, let's look at last night, Cody. 20 points, yeah. 6 rebounds. They've lost 2 straight in his return. He had 9 points in the fourth quarter. Well, that's good because that's more than Zach LaVine, your all-star, had. But to your point, he was a -8 in 10 minutes in the fourth quarter and 0 free throws for the second straight game. That's the Lauri Markkanen profile that he doesn't instinctively change. It would have to be coached into him. And I think it may not be worth the effort. Maybe they look at it as not worth the effort to coach that aggressiveness into him. He doesn't seem like that guy at all. If given his druthers, he'll spot up and he'll take that shot. Right, Cody? Am I missing something?
No. He's averaging 3.0 free throw attempts per game for his career. Like, and it's down this year. He's averaging 2.8 free throw attempts per game. And I understand, like, last year averaged more free throw attempts per game when everyone in the fan base and Markkanen pretty much privately mumbled about how Jim Boylan only would have him spot up and shoot, right?
Right.
Well, now apparently he's being used perfectly, but he still doesn't get to the free throw line. That falls on the player. That doesn't fall on the coaches. So if we're apologizing for Jim Boylan here, I guess I'm sorry for fans that want to blame something on him. I don't think Markkanen was well utilized in Jim Boylan's final year on the Bulls. But like this dream and brand of basketball to use him in, it's not like it's getting him to the free throw line anymore. You know what I mean? So it's fair to say like his two-point percentage is up a lot this year. Markkanen's just shooting the ball a lot better. But I just don't think he affects the game two ways enough on both ends. And I see it sometimes just like not finishing strong enough. Like he could be shooting probably 5% better, I feel like, if he just finished stronger at the hoop. And again, it goes back to defense. Like if you look at that plus minus that you brought up, Rosie, like a lot of that can track to his defensive end because like he has performed and shot the ball better this year, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that's a hard decision for the Bulls. There's no doubt about it. And it's really going to be interesting because I feel like with Markkanen's restricted free agency or whatever decision they make on him, like, well, we might get an indicator of just kind of how this front office views the future and what they value a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what we're all trying to do is read between the lines and sometimes the exact things that happen on the court, whether it is Billy Donovan in a rotation or maybe something Arturis Karnišovas says. All right, so I look at. I kind of want to stay on the future Bulls, and
yeah.
I look at like the guys that I think are not going. Probably Patrick Williams is not going anywhere. I mean, I'm just guessing, but I don't rule it out. And I do think Zach LaVine will be around for the future as well. Do you think LaVine is going to be around in the future?
Like, I do.
Okay, good.
And I mean, it's just been a phenomenal transformation this year into how efficient he is offensively. I mean, very few people in the NBA. I know scoring and percentages and efficiency is exploding this year in the NBA kind of with everything, but he is the modern player on the offensive end, and I think his turnover problem is a real, real trouble. There's still some... he's loose with the ball, especially late in the games, it feels like, sometimes in the fourth quarter. I think some of those are just magnified, but, I mean, a live ball turnover in the second quarter to give the other team a dunk's just as hurtful, you know? So he's got to clean that up, but, like, he has progressed year over year over year. He has always gotten better. He has always progressed, so I feel like he can progress in that area. And like anything short of like someone offering, I feel like a top 5 or 8 pick in the first round, like where you're going to plug in a really good player for alongside Patrick Williams, who maybe better fits his timeline. A trade like that for Zach LaVine, I don't see him being moved anytime soon. I mean, we're kind of all just guessing with the new front office. It hasn't made a lot of moves, right? And it's kind of mysterious to the whole NBA. But at the same time, I do feel like Zach has proved a lot, elevated himself a lot. The way Billy Donovan and AK have both talked about him, to me, suggest AK said he's affecting winning. He's impacting winning. I thought that was telling. You know, like, those weren't – sometimes coaches and GMs just give you empty quotes, and sometimes they give you things I think maybe it's fair to latch on to. And I thought that was probably fair to latch on to a little bit, like the way he is impacting winning. So I think he's really established himself more likely to be here with the Bulls for the long term than obviously we thought when the ball tipped off at the start of this year.
Cody, before we let you go, this is something that's been bothering me, or I need an answer to. And it's been going on for a while. It involves Billy Donovan. Because like you said, what Arturis Kondrashovas talks, it's an interesting window into the way to his philosophy. And I've noticed the change in the whole we-they thing from Billy Donovan talking about his team and his players. And this was from before the All-Star break. And he was talking about, he was looking back at the first game against Atlanta, and he said, I think about that first game, whenever it was back there in December, and how we look now. But later on, he says, but they really have made really good progress. It's not where we want to be. We're not satisfied where we're at. We've got to keep striving. So the we and the they, and it jumps out at me, and maybe it shouldn't. You tell me. Does he make a difference? Does he make a distinction between they when it's on the court and we when we're talking as a team, or am I just hearing things?
No, I think that's fair. I hadn't picked that up on that lately. There was a moment, I mean, it had to be over a month ago when a few of us beat writers noticed it, and I think we're talking about it a little bit. But it's very interesting. I do think when he uses they, that means things that I feel like a coach cannot help. You know what I mean? And again, we'd have to go through all the certain circumstances of when he's done it, what game, what plays he is referring to sometimes exactly. But there are certain things where Billy's like, this year he's been like, well, they got to learn to sink or swim, right? Like, I can't do everything for them. And I feel like it's been interesting because, right, like, I think he's been pretty hard on, for long stretches, Coby White. Not with, like, public criticism per se, but at times just saying, hey, here's what he did wrong, X, Y, Z. Here's what we have to do better. Here's what we've told him. Here's how he's going to grow. So, like, you ask Billy Donovan a question about Coby White's development, he's going to give you a 2.5-minute answer that includes some criticism, why it went wrong, what's on, like, Coby's end, what's on the coaching staff's end, how they can help next time. But there are certain things where Billy's like, you know, I told them they got to go do it at some point. And when he does talk like that, when he says they, that's interesting to me because, like, that signals, like, there's change coming at some point here, right? Like, Billy Donovan knows he's just riding out the first wave of whatever Bulls iteration he's going to see and have on the team front, and is going to look a lot different in 3 years. And right now, Billy Donovan is married to Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. He's not really married to anyone else in this organization, you know? Like, that's the partnership. We talked about before just the words they used with each other, like, it's just like a romance I haven't seen in a long time between a coach and front office in Chicago. And maybe that's because we've seen so much friction between past Bulls front offices and coaches, and maybe in some other organizations in the city, obviously. But it is something right now, and I think that might track back to some of the we and the they thing. So right now it's we with Billy in the front office, and it's they sometimes on the court when the Bulls don't make decisions that Billy feels like they've been put in good position to make and just have to improve on.
Okay, so I'm glad I wasn't a syntactical wiener. I might be a wiener in other areas, but not as far as that's concerned. So I wasn't.
No, I thought that was a good observation. I'll be on the hunt for it. If I find an example, maybe I'll follow up with Billy on when he uses we versus they.
No, it's really two good examples before the All-Star break. They need to understand how to close games better than that, and also they didn't fold at the end. is exactly your point. Cody, thanks for your time. Great knowledge. We always learn something. We thank you for taking the time to join us.
Yep. You guys have a good rest of the show.
See you, man.
We'll suck, so you don't have to. And if only we could help Wendell Carter Jr. in that whole thing. So that's Cody Westerlund. He covers the Bulls for The Score. He's also the digital high lord and master. We're going to take a break. When we come back, there's more of what Mark heard, and it seems to be, Mark, do I have this right? Is it Bears related?
It is Bears related.
Bears.
You
Bears,
will
Bears,
hear
my
from
friend.
The one and only Olin Krutz next.
Yeah, you better bring Kevlar with this. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate, and they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Or this week at Staples.
A big deal on ink. That's kind of a big deal.
Staples has the technology, furniture, and supplies you need for a totally productive workspace.
And right now, you can earn 25% back in Staples rewards when you spend $75 on ink or $175 on toner.
Shop in-store or get same-day delivery powered by Instacart.
Ends 3/13/21. Limit 4 in-store and on Instacart only. Visit staplesconnect.com/ink rewards for details. Instacart delivery subject to availability. Additional fees may apply.
Need a home mortgage done quickly, streamlined, with less paperwork and no headaches? Since 2002, nobody beats Townstone on rates, costs, or service. Townstone.com.
Tax time is new vehicle savings time during Riverfront's Jeep Celebration event. Get huge discounts, low finance rates, and lease payments at Riverfront Jeep in North Aurora, and buy at Riverfront.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We love Allen Robinson. He's a great player for his face, and we know that.
Yeah. He's a great player. Not sure what he's the answer to with a team that has such significant holes, but there he is. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Saturday Suckage, and we are now completing hour two of our What Mark Heard marathon. I like this idea, Mark. This whole show should be called What Mark Heard, and we'll just keep doing it until we run out of time and they make us get off the air. What do you think?
Yeah, it's just like a base of the show. Like, everything comes back to What Mark Heard. We'll do other things, like have that excellent segment with Cody Westerlund, but then, you know, at our base, like it's like a 3-4 defense. It's a base defense, and then at other times we'll use different unit, different packages, and sub out and things like that. But it comes back to this. And what right. would a segment of What Mark Heard? What would it be without something on Allen Robinson? There's always something on Allen Robinson, and I don't think we have spoken since. Have we spoken since Allen Robinson got the franchise tag? No, we have not. So, Allen Robinson, as our listeners probably know by now, does get the franchise tag, and it's still possible the Bears could sign him to a long-term deal by July 15th. I had Olin Krutz on one of the shows where I was filling in for Joe Ostrowski, and we were discussing Mr. Allen Robinson. Here's Big O.
It was the right move for the Chicago Bears, and you know, you heard Ryan, you knew it was going to happen as soon as you heard Ryan Pace say the famous words that, you know, drives all of us former players and current players crazy. We're going to do what's best for the Chicago Bears. And about then you knew that Allen Robinson was going to get tagged, and you just kind of feel for the guy because he does everything right. And he's a really good wide receiver. He's a number one wide receiver. You can go through all his numbers, everything he's done. I'm sure you guys have talked it to death on the airwaves, how he does everything right off the field. He's the guy in the locker room. He's everything you want as a teammate. He's everything you want as a football player. And to me, that's why if you're Ryan Pace and you're Coach Nagy and you talk so much about your culture, you talk so much about your Vanilla Ice collaboration, you talk so much about all of those things, then if you are those guys that you say you are, you have to show your locker room that you will give Allen Robinson an extension that he deserves, because if there's anybody in that locker room that deserves it, who's played at a high level on a really bad offense, it is Allen Robinson. Obviously, you know, a lot of people, we all know that this is the business side, this is the ugly side. All of us players have been through some form of it at some point in our careers, when we became free agents, or as you got older and on in your career, you go through these negotiations, and you just, you know, when you're on that side and your agent is telling you what they're saying and you think you deserve something, and you can just reel off everything you've done for the organization, for your team, done things the right way, done everything that these guys have asked of you, and now they're going to use this franchise tag on you. It doesn't sit well with him, I'm sure. We'll see what comes of it, but you don't want a disgruntled Allen Robinson in your locker room. Ryan Pace, them know that this salary cap is going to go up next year, of course, with the new TV deals they're expecting, you know, the gambling money that's going to be coming in soon to the NFL, so they can backload a contract and make this thing work and do the right thing for a guy who obviously deserves it.
So you think they made a mistake today then by putting the franchise tag?
No, I don't think they made a mistake today. I think it'll be a mistake if they let this go on into the season. Then I think that would be a mistake. I don't think today was a mistake. I think it bought them some more time to work a lot of things out, because we all know what position they're up there. You know, they're in up there at Halas Hall. You know, Grody, you've been around the team. You know, I've been analyzing them. Anybody who studies what they have in the building and what they need to actually win games and improve, we all know what situation they're in right now, and it's not a really good one, right?
Yeah, and so, and there's a lot of teams that are not in great situations right now, considering where the salary cap has gone, the decisions that teams are going to have to start making. And by the way, Monday is the famous legal tampering period, and then Wednesday is when the new league year officially begins. So a lot of this chaos and movement will be coming soon. But I've heard from more than one like Olin talking about needing to still get a deal done with Allen Robinson. There is hope, actually, Steve, that the Bears will actually still get a long-term deal done with Allen Robinson by July 15th.
Did Olin drop the phrase, did he play the Vanilla Ice collaboration card?
Yeah, he did.
Oh,
all right, stop.
My.
Collaborate and listen.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was such a thing.
Collaborate and listen.
Listen. Yeah. Ice is back with
the Vanilla Ice collaboration.
Man. He did. He slipped it in. Olin Sly, man. He says things.
Yes.
By the way, Olin Krutz, the great Olin Krutz, doing a podcast now, because everybody's got a podcast, and Krutz is doing one with Jason McKee, the No Name Podcast. little plug for my guy.
Olin's terrific. You listen to him on our post-game show. He and Patrick Manley, and if you see him on the football after show on NBC Sports Chicago, whatever they're going to call it before it goes away. He is so good, and he's so smart, and he is a, for a group that he used to, you know, grit his teeth at and curl up his lip and growl at in the media. And now he is doing it, and he does that better than a lot of us too. So I'm not. Yeah. I'm envious of the way he can relay information, the information he has, the way he can relay it. But I do have an issue with what he said.
Okay.
In that he's leading with his heart as a player. He did couch it as the, you know, what in that locker room they want to see Allen Robinson get a long-term contract. Right. Every player wants to see every other player succeed because it may mean something better for them. The football union has always been the worst. It's been the worst union, the worst association. They don't look at Bears management as the problem. Look at your union leadership and look at your fraternity and say, how come we didn't hold out for more? How come we don't have guaranteed contracts? How come we don't have this? How come we don't have that? How come they can franchise us? Why can't we just go be free agents? Well, you can negotiate that. You can withhold services. You can go on strike. You can not sign a contract, a collective bargaining agreement. That's up to you. And I understand that you want your locker room to be your clubhouse, your whatever it is. In every sport, you want the players want the players to win. And the way to do that, the way baseball gets what baseball does, baseball players withheld their services. They went on strike and they saw it through. Football has not been able to do that, to extend it. And the idea, Olin's right about the big TV money. That's what a lot of people said the Dak Prescott contract was all about, is the new TV contract's coming. I had forgotten about the influx of gambling money, wherever that's going to go. They're getting all of Crane Kenny's wheelbarrows of cash. That's what the NFL's getting. And the NFL players just have never been able to stay out, have never been able to go out on strike long enough to hurt NFL owners. And they certainly are the show. Nobody's going to pay to watch anybody but the best players. I don't think. I'd be surprised if anybody wants to watch Spare Bears too. But if Olin wants to complain about doing the right thing for the player, the players have to do the right things for each other and be strong enough to stay out until management buckles. That's why baseball has always had the best union and NFL has had the worst.
Also, while Allen Robinson's teammates are going to be unhappy for him and have in some ways on social media stuck up for him with the pay the man things and things like that, yeah, I don't believe it sets a bad precedent in the locker room. And I say that because, or like, oh, hey, the Bears are not paying guys. There are 31 other teams around the NFL that are pulling these tricks and using the tools that they have at their disposal. And then the other part too is, until a player gets paid, he's keeping his mouth shut. You know what I mean? Like Anthony Miller, he still needs to get paid at some point. Like Cordarrelle Patterson, I know he's looking for his next couple big bags of gold as well. Or just any player, they get taken care of, it's going to be a different story in terms of how they look at the organization. So while it's like I don't think this upsets the culture of the Bears, you know what I mean? Like but it does. I mean it should be directed at the league and the contract, like you said.
You know, the talk about Allen Robinson leads to, like, who's going to throw to him? And some developments this week. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will discuss the developments this week, and we'll sort of take your pulse on where you think this might or might not, where you think this is on the Bears jackpot-o-meter. How about if we do that, okay, Mark?
Bears quarterback talk next. That always works for me, brother.
The Bears.
All right. Bears. I'm Steve Rosen. He's Mark Grody, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Score.
It sucks, and it freebases.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
You've come to the right place. And yes, Texter, if you're baked, you're home. Right here with us. The Wake and Bake Show. Saturday, second. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. The Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen.
Smoke weed every day.
Yes, thank you. Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. That's Nate Dogg, right? Isn't that Nate Dogg doing
yes.
Smoke weed
yes,
every
it
day?
Is. Yes.
Well, Snoop Dogg has some line of wines out. I think 19 Crimes is now using his face. And there's a red blend that his face is on, and it's a really good red blend.
Oh, Snoop. Yeah?
Yep. Snoop's did, for my taste, Snoop did red wine, red blend, white, right. And I'm sure that they'll expand it as long as they can put his face on there.
But you know, Snoop also has a gin?
I did not know that.
Of course he does.
He's always sipping on gin and juice.
Yeah, but he actually does have a line of gin called Indago. It's pretty good. I actually had some this last week.
I think I'm like ruined by like I'm always surprised when I hear like celebrity endorsed products are good, and I think that goes back to Jordan. Like everything that Jordan did was bad. Like the cologne was bad. The original Michael Jordan restaurant was bad. Like all his products.
Shoes are good though.
The shoes are awesome. I mean, beyond that, though, things that you put in your body or on your body were not good. I own them all. I had the Michael Jordan cologne, but it was not good. So, and that's what this goes back to me when I'm always surprised to hear that celebrity-endorsed products are actually good. Hey, Newman salad dressing is actually pretty good.
And, you know, another Ryan Reynolds has a gin as well. Also pretty damn good and really affordable. Really? Yeah. Like, really affordable. Huh. It's like $28, I think.
Michael went in on making a high-end tequila. And if you want a high-end Casamigos, a George Clooney tequila, unbelievable. I know I shouldn't say that to you, Mark, but this is
No.
I know you take life on its own terms, but I'm telling you this, their Reposado is a spectacular shot. It's a great drink.
Really? So, okay, and that's a Jordan-based
tequila. No, I don't. He's got his own. I've not tasted his, but when you talk about athletes and investing, endorsing brand, more than endorsing, putting their own money up and helping produce it, Jordan did it. He went in on and producing this tequila, and George Clooney did it right. The Casamigos tequila is outstanding.
Okay. Wow, all right, a whole new look at celebrities and their products.
And here's something else. Al Harrington, remember him? Drafted in the first round in 1998? Al Harrington, NBA player?
Of course.
Okay. Well, he is one of the leading proponents, he's running one of the leading businesses. It's called Viola, and they produce cannabis. Viola is his mom, and they produce cannabis.
Yes.
And he was featured in Esquire talking about it as he was part of Black History Month last month, and it came out. And before, he said that he doesn't feel cannabis is a drug. Our WB Club will agree with this. It's all natural. Anybody can grow it. Drugs are made in labs. So that's the whole idea behind the opioids, which they give all the athletes when they're hurt. And he was one of the athletes who was afraid of cannabis. And before he started this, he thought it was a gateway drug that starts the whole thing. But the opioids really are, because you're so dependent on them. And a lot of his teammates used it. And he saw that the stigma wasn't true. But this is the best part of this. For me, Al Harrington says, once I saw my grandmother use it for her glaucoma and then go downstairs and read her Bible and see for the first time in 3 years, it really just changed my perception of it.
Wow.
I just love this. That's it. So Al Harrington, a Wake and Bake Club classic. He's a
he can come on anytime he wants.
Oh, and you know, John Belushi's a weed farmer now. So we're doing celebrities and weed. Yeah.
John Belushi is dead. He's been dead for a while.
Oh, sorry, Jim Belushi. Jim Belushi. That's my mistake. Jim Belushi is a weed farmer.
Right. And really? isn't Clay Thompson also a backing a line of cannabis? I thought he was.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's
I don't know.
Quite the thing. And Rocky Wirtz went in halvesies with in Canada with his Wirtz Beverage Company with all the weed infused alcohol. It was money. A lot of money in pot.
Weed infused alcohol?
Yeah, you know, put it in beers and whatever. We talked about this before. You could put it anywhere, weed-infused food.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I guess that makes – I guess I wasn't listening or I didn't know that happened. I mean, it goes in everything else. Yeah, that's why
we... So speaking of suck, let's talk about Bears quarterbacks. We talked about this. Here's my stance, even though we talk about this every week, and if we had a show 5 days a week, we'd talk about it 5 days a week at some point.
Sure.
Until – Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson are not coming here. There's still a chance they're going to come here.
Amen.
And that has to be based on something other than there's no movement. And in Seattle, nobody's denied that he wants out or they might move him. Nobody's done that. And Lewis Riddick tweeted out this week, Lewis Riddick has been talked about as somebody that a team should hire as a GM. Maybe Seattle isn't as concerned as everyone else is about getting a quarterback in return for Russell Wilson, a la Detroit LA Rams deal involving Matthew Stafford. Just a thought. Hashtag, there is still a chance, Chicago.
Ooh, wow. like they would accept Nick Foles is what he's saying, basically.
Or not Nick Foles, or just we need to get everything else. We want all the draft picks, and we want maybe Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack. And, you know, the one thing they would ask for, so let me ask you this about Russell Wilson. Let me ask you this. If they wanted Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith, the idea of getting Russell Wilson is we need a quarterback. He's the best out there, at least short term. Deshaun Watson would be the best long-term because he's younger, and he's unhappy there. The question is, how many offensive linemen would you give up? Because Russell Wilson wants out because he's the most sacked quarterback since 2017. I mean, it's staggering. So you'd want to bump up the offensive line if you're Seattle, whoever you have. So they want Cody Whitehair and they want James Daniels.
Yeah,
then what do you do?
Wow, that's tough, man. I have never thought of it from the offensive line standpoint and give it.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah. Yep. And that's tough. Yeah. No, I don't think Russell Wilson would be signing off on any trade. Not that he'd have a choice in the matter, but he's not going to want to come to the Bears if they have no offensive line. So it makes perfect sense what you're saying. So, I mean, my first thought, honestly, is no, you can't. You can't trade James Daniels and Cody Whitehair and. I don't think we're putting Sam Mustipher up there quite yet.
Should also say, Grody, Russell Wilson does actually have say in this because he's got a no-trade clause. So
yeah,
he can say no.
That's true. He can say no. But yeah, and that's what I mean. Like he probably would say no if the Bears were trading their offensive line away or else he's just running. Or then we would learn that that's not truly the reason he wanted it out of Seattle. Like, is that, are we just assuming it's because he hates getting sacked as much as he has? Or is it because he wants to throw the ball 30, 40 times in a game and things are not going through him as much? So that would tell the tale. I mean, if the Bears were giving up offensive linemen and Russell Wilson still didn't block a trade, then we'd know that Wilson just either really wanted to go to Chicago or wanted the hell out of Seattle.
And wanted to be able to run around and have a say in what was going on. And it's an interesting thing that Matt Nagy would wrestle with. He had sort of the learner's permit version of it when Mitch Trubisky made the comment about they're listening to me more, the idea that he had some input in the plays they could run, would run, he wanted to run. And that's said to be one of the reasons Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle. They're just not listening to him. They don't want to do what he wants. He wants to have a say in the game plan and the plays, and he wants to be Russell Wilson, all caps. Which in my world he already is. I think he's my favorite quarterback. So I don't know what's true and what's not. And there will be bad things said about from both sides. Everything conveniently leaked to make the other one look worse.
How about this?
But it'd be interesting if he has a no trade contract, no trade clause that he wants to exercise. What if they don't tell them what the trade is in return? Because that's where you would say yay or nay. What are you getting from me?
Oh, my God.
And he'd know who is being traded. It's probably important to it's certainly important to Russell Wilson that Allen Robinson were still here. It would happen.
Yeah, you would think. You would think. And again, if he's not, then we know that there's a whole different agenda that he has. Yeah. And then if he doesn't care about Allen Robinson, he doesn't care about offensive linemen, then, hey, celebrate. Russell Wilson just really wanted to play in Chicago. But there was this from Colin Coward. I don't know if you heard this, but he said, I'm told the Chicago Bears are trying to make a move on Russell Wilson and trying to create a move that is so good Seattle can't say no. So that's the source of Coward.
Right, but what he says is nonsense. What he says is impossible. Because at one point he talks about 5 first-round picks. That's impossible. You can't do that. The most you can do is 4 and only on draft day. And you have to be Kevin Costner and able to do it. But you have to, between the time that Jacksonville Jaguars go on the clock and Mr. Irrelevant is chosen, is the only time any team would be able to trade
4
draft picks. Otherwise, it's 3. So what Colin Cowherd is saying is, it ruins his credibility in a lot of ways.
Well, was that just his own hyperbole when he said that? Was he like, oh, they would trade 5 if they had to, or... Like what I just read, he doesn't say anything about the draft picks. Does he go on to actually say 5 picks are involved? Okay, so then
later on, maybe this and bodies and players and all that, and it makes sense. Here's why you can believe that would be true: that Ryan Pace bids against himself. So Ryan Pace is probably running up the score on himself, and he's offering here. You can have all of Halas Hall. That's what we're giving you. That's it. So. All right, we got to take a break because we're expecting a call from the Grobber.
Oh, that's right.
That's what's going to happen at the top of the hour. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody, the Grobber, and Lee Elia making an appearance. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan.
Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.